Thank you, Dwayne. Good evening. Oh, everybody's like, we're upset with Adam after that town hall meeting. Just kidding. Good evening. Thank you. All right. I want to welcome you here, tell you that I'm grateful to be here. Hope you're not tired of me yet, or if you are, I hope that you can deal with me for a little bit longer here. I do have some thoughts that are on my mind. One of these things that I found myself doing, I don't really care a lot for technology, but I've become more and more dependent on it. And in my phone, I have in my notes, I've got kind of varied sections, and I have one that's church. And probably like a lot of the ministry do, you know, I'll have something come into my mind, and I'll go and I'll put some thoughts in there. And sometimes it'll sit there, and I'll go back. A lot of times when I'm at work, I have a quiet moment before I hope to go to bed or something. I may go and look through that and see if there's something I want to consider or something I want to pray about or something I want to study about. And this was what I want to talk about tonight. It's something that's been on my mind for a couple of weeks in kind of having to do with our conversation in our town hall. You know, I hope that this is a message that it'll be familiar to all of us. It'll have some encouragement. It'll have some exhortation. And I'm hoping that there's a couple things that are a little bit entertaining in it. So what's in a name? I want to start with this. And so we're going to do this. I have some names here, and I wonder if you know who these people are. Does anybody know who Randall Mario Poffo is? Nobody knows him? Oh, anybody know who? He's Macho Man Randy Savage. That's his real name, is Randall Mario Poffo. Macho Man Randy Savage. I was one of my friends on Instagram posted a meme with Macho Man Randy Savage the other day. If anybody doesn't know who he was a pro wrestler, WWF, Macho Man Randy Savage. All right. How about this? Does anybody know who Archibald Alec Leach is? Anybody? Karen says she's heard the name. Cary Grant. All right? You can imagine, as we go through some of these names, you can know why an agent might be like, hey, let's change your name a little bit. All right? Old Archibald Leach is going to be acting here. Mary and Robert Morrison. Someone knows that. Grandma knows. That's John Wayne. Yeah. John Wayne. Joaquin Raphael Bottom. Anybody know who that is? If you read about this guy, he actually had a pretty wacky growing up. His family was part of a cult for a while and all that. He's got siblings, River Phoenix. Of course, River Phoenix died in like 93. He's got a sister named Rain. I forget another one. He was the only one who had a normal name. They changed it. His family changed the last name to Phoenix when they left whatever cult they were in. And they were rising again, so they changed their last name to Phoenix. But it was Joaquin Raphael Bottom. For a while, he went by the name Leaf because he wanted some sort of a name having to do with that. We got some more here. Let me see what we're talking about. Henry John Duchendorf Jr. Who knows? That's right. Can he say it louder? John Denver. Yeah. It's quite the last name. I had a lot of fun looking through some of these. Oh, I already saw it. I pressed it twice. So Arnold George Dorsey is what was Engelbert Humperdinck's original name. And he changed it to Engelbert Humperdinck. And if you read about it, it was because he had tried to get into singing. He tried to get famous for a while, and he wasn't getting anywhere in it. Though he had some talent, they call him the most average ballad singer of all time. But he's been relatively successful. But early on in the, I think it was the 60s, he was in the right crowds in England, but he wasn't going anywhere. And so someone was like, I think your name's just too boring. And so Engelbert Humperdinck is from Hansel and Gretel. That's what I read yesterday. So, John Charles Carter, anybody know who that is? I can't do his voice. It's Charlton Heston. Right? We're going to talk about names today. Here's one. I like this one. This has got going to be a video, and it's got volume, and it won't work over top, so I'm going to put my mic down here. I wonder where the speaker's at on this computer. We'll try it here. I like this one.
A Wisconsin man was arrested after he was allegedly found drunk in a park. Yeah, so what do you say?
But listen to his name! Meet Bizzadoodoo Zabbidi-Bop-Bop-Bop!
Bizzadoodoo Zopdidi-Bop-Bop-Bop!
Bizzadoodoo Zabbidi-Bop-Bop!
Zabbidi-Bop-Bop-Bop! Bizzadoodoo Zabbidi-Bop-Bop-Bop!
Bizzadoodoo Zopdidi-Bop-Bop-Bop! Bizzadoodoo Zabbidi-Bop-Bop-Bop! Come on!
Does anybody remember reading the news with that guy? Legitimate guy. He changed his name to Bizzow Doodoo Zippity Bop Bop Bop. And then I read an article about him. He's had a life of crime, surprisingly. Have a hard time getting a name tag with all that on there. But he had changed it. His name was like Jeffrey or something. And he said that the Bizzow, that's because it was something about he had like a mind explosion about something crazy, and so he changed the name to Bizzow. And Doo-Doo, because he says that's what life is sometimes, and Zippity-Bop-Bop-Bop, I don't know it. I thought that was kind of funny. I figured you guys would get a kick out of that. But if you look it up, it's really, there's a huge montage of all of these news anchors throughout the nation trying to say his name. It's really pretty entertaining. So you can look that up later. It'll come up quick on your Google. So I want to think about this here. We're talking about names, right? What's in a name? So what comes to mind when you hear these names? Snap-on. Got some mechanics here. What do you think? Expensive. Good tools. Right? Yeah, they got a truck going around and have a pretty good tool. Anybody know this one? Festool? Some of you guys probably don't know Festool. Festool makes their very expensive German power tools, sanders and track saws and miter saws and all that. When I say expensive, I'm talking like an orbital sander for like $800, but they're just amazing. And it's because they put so much time and effort, they focus in on every one of their tools. Kind of cool. Anybody who's used an orbital sander, you turn an orbital sander on, you stick it on a piece of wood, and that thing's going to go all over the place. You take a Festool orbital sander and you turn it on, you sit it there, it'll stay right in that same place. It's just, they're phenomenal. Anybody familiar with the clothing brand George? Where have you seen it? Walmart. My drawers are full of it, right? Might be cheap, right? But George has made a pretty good, you know, it's a pretty good brand, whatever it is. I mean, I've got shirts and stuff that are George brand shirts that I've had for years and years. In fact, most of my dress shirts are that brand. I mean, we shop at Walmart, you know. They got a good brand. They got a good name there. Lazy Boy, what do you think about that? Yeah, I'll say junk, and we use Strata loungers. But I would say junk, right? We have Lazy Boy couches at our house, and we had them for geez, not even very long, and they started falling apart. And when we went in there, the sales lady was like talking to us, and then all of a sudden we're talking to her, and all of a sudden she goes running and jumps right on a couch, and just like huge jump. It was the weirdest thing. I think she was wearing a skirt too, and I was like, "What has got bees out here?" She, you know, and she wanted to show how durable they are. I don't like Lazy Boy anymore. Ours have gone terrible. I hope they have a good warranty. We need to use it. I've done some modifications to mine because stuff is broken. No, I'm not real high on Lazy Boy. Tupperware. One of those things that'll probably, along with coyotes and cockroaches, will last through whatever nuclear Armageddon is going to happen, right? Tupperware, it lasts, right? It's good. For my shooters in here. Anybody know what Lorsen is? Lorsen is, they make really, 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 really cheap garbage firearms. The term Saturday Night Special, right? A throwdown gun, I'm talking that, you know, you're as likely for that thing to just go off just sitting there as it is, right? It's garbage. It's a garbage brand. That was the preferred, one of the preferred guns of the gangsters in the city I used to work in. Firestone. Everybody remember years back where all of a sudden Firestone tires were just blowing up all over the place, and that was the big joke, right? You know, when I hear these names, those are some of the things that comes to my mind. I mean, what's that? It's the DeLorean. DeLorean, one of the biggest flops of all time, right? The guy who created the DeLorean worked for GM. Did he work for GM, Isaac? And he left, his last name's DeLorean, and he left because he had this idea for this phenomenal car. It took a couple of years to get up and going. They made 7,000 of them. They sold not even half of them. They went out of business in 1982. 1985, Back to the Future comes out, and the DeLorean was in it. But by that time, they were already underwater. It was not a well-received car. I don't know. Is it a good running car, Isaac? It seems like the kind of car that you'd see on the back roads of Minnesota. It wouldn't rust. That was, yeah. The flux capacitor gave it 895,000 whatever gigawatts of power. Yeah. Yeah, trying to get it to 88 miles an hour, yeah, at the right time to go back in time. Yeah, the DeLorean. When you think of that, when you see that, it brings that very thing. It brings a thought to your mind of a car, then Back to Future, but in reality, it was a huge flop. So here we go. What comes to mind when you see this? I know it's kind of far away. This is Andy's truck, okay? And as you can see, I took a picture of its pretty side there. And I got a picture of the odometer on there. It's pretty small. It says 511,592. Right, yeah. It'll never last, right? Because of that, Jesse bought almost the identical truck, and I bought almost the identical truck too. Because Jesse said this, and I thought this for a long time, if this truck will last after what Andy's done to it, then there's no way that I'm ever going to wear this thing out. And if you look at it, you look at you see a little scuff in the paint up here on the quarter panel. You look at the bumper, and you know those bumpers have seen trees and all that stuff. I mean, it's pretty regular. I remember a couple years ago, Andy and I and the boys were on a junior elk hunt up in Kaibab, and we were driving a road, not an elk hunt, a deer hunt. And we were getting ready to go up this hill, and we started going up, and Andy says, you know what, how about if we just go around somewhere else? And I said, all right. And he goes, well, keep an eye behind me, he says, because going backwards is about the time we usually run into a tree. And he no sooner said that, wham, we run into a tree, you know. And we put it in drive and drove off, right? So when I think of Ford F-350, you know, sort of, I think of pretty reliable, right, going to stand the test of time. It's pretty regular. I'll be in a parking lot or something, and I'll have some dude come up to me and like, hey, is that a 99 or a 2004? Does that got the 7.3 in it? And I'm like, yeah, it's, oh man, everybody wants to talk to you about it because it's a good truck, right? It's a good motor. How do we get a name, right? We got names that are given to us, and I say, thanks, Mom. So she may not remember this. This was 20-plus years ago, but I was working in the emergency room at Thunderbird Samaritan, and every night when you go in there, you have to write your name on all the boards in the section you're at. And you can imagine my name is not spelled normal, and so even now it happens all the time. My department ordered some shirts for me, and I said, you don't have to send them back. I'll just deal with the normal spelling because it just takes so long to get them. But in there, I got tired. People would be like, hey, you spelled your name wrong. You're right. All these years, I haven't gotten it right. And and then the next question was, well, why do you spell your name like that? And I say, I didn't name myself. Well, why did your mom do that? And finally, one night, I got tired of it. And I said, you know what? Let's call her. So do you remember that, Mom? It was like 2:00 in the morning. I picked up the room phone and I called her and she, hello, Mom? I got a question for you. Of course, are you all right? Yeah, I'm just fine. Why did you spell my name with two A's? And she said, I just thought it seemed nice or whatever it was. And I was like, what's the reason?
First of all, why is it okay to spell Aaron?
Oh, here we go. I'm thankful for smartphones now, because when it was the old phones, I'd always get butt dialed because I was the first on everybody's list. Two A's, I was ahead of Aaron Moser or anybody else. I'm not so much anymore. But yeah, so, you know, I've got this name that's spelled different. And even, you know, and like when you sign documents for a house, for a mortgage, right? They have a sheet. It's all the different possible spellings of your name that they found in there. Anybody remember that when you sign a mortgage? Nobody else. Okay, I guess it's just me. They're like, hey, you're a weirdo. How about that? They have a whole sheet, and it's got, as they do these background checks and all that, anything that was even close to your name. And if that was ever a mistake that was made by some company, you sign that name. So I would sign Adam with one A, Mesroni, you know, Moron, all that sort of stuff. I'd sign all of those things on there for a mortgage. We make some agreement to take a name, right? I thank my wife for that, right? She agreed to take my name, right? We, those of us who are married, we make this, our wife hopefully makes this agreement to share our name. And there's something that comes with that. We hope that they're hopeful to take a name. And, you know, there are families throughout the world, you know, who they don't have. They don't ever have a son, and so, you know, they only have daughters. And so at some point, their family name will end up ending right there. So taking a name can be somewhat important. And so we get a name because we make an agreement for that name. We earn a name by way of reputation and work ethic, right? For me, not tonight, I don't want to take the time, but I had this amazing, amazing, miraculous blessing at work. And I'm excited to tell you, but I'm not going to say it right now because I just want to keep moving here. But one of these things that was a blessing to me was that I was taught, and I'm going to give a little bit of praise to my mother, I was taught a work ethic. To work hard at what I do, and I don't always do well, but you know, one thing that's always been with me is I want to have a good name. And I have found for myself when it comes to jobs and things, even in some of the trials that I've endured, the efforts I made, that I really pushed hard to do a good job and to maintain a good name has done amazing things. And so we earn a name. You know, one of the things I always said, and I said it as a police officer and I say it now as a firefighter, even if someone doesn't particularly care for me, you know, because I realize, you know, we just had this meeting. I realize some people, I'm very blunt. Some people don't like that. I realize that sometimes I say things and it can be, I'm not as polished and all that sort of stuff. So I realize everybody's not always going to necessarily like Adam, and I'm okay with that. But one thing I always want people to say is, even if they don't like it, I don't want anybody, when I'm coming to their crew and at that, all I want them to say is like, you know, I don't necessarily like that guy, but he can do his job. He is reliable. I want a good name. I don't have to have friends everywhere, but I want a good name. And that's something that's important to me. We receive the benefit or the trouble of a family name sometimes, right? You know, if you talk to our brother Bob Hedrick, he says, you know, he's felt a lot of pressure because of his family name, right? Many, many years ago, I had really hoped when I was an 18-year-old with no maturity and no life experience or all that, I had hoped that my family name on the fire department was going to get me right in there. I'd walk right in there to the test, and they'd go to hand me the test, and I'd say, I'm sorry, my last name's Yates. Oh, got a special test for you. You know, I was hoping I could receive that benefit. It didn't work. But this is something that we work for, right? Or we can also have the trouble of a family name. There's a documentary out there, and I wouldn't necessarily recommend it. I had watched it at a time when I wasn't being real careful about the things that I watched. But it follows a family, a notorious Appalachian family. And some of their family members have said, you know, they moved away. And so we couldn't live in this state because the reputation behind our family name. We couldn't get, Brandon smiling, he knows what documentary it is. So we couldn't get jobs. Nobody would trust you, right? This is something with names. All right, I got another one. Next one is we make the effort to receive a name or a title.
No, it's not my fault. Let go of me. Ma'am. I can't be arrested. I'm president of the Homeowners Association.
I changed it, Erica. That lady made the effort to be the president of the Homeowners Association, right? There are things that we do to receive a name. It takes some effort and takes some work to do, right? Oh, this is probably going to try to play twice. Let's read some scriptures here, because hopefully I've primed your mind at least to think. I want to talk about this tonight. I've got some more stuff that we're going to, I think I got some more kind of humorous things in here, I think. But I want us to think about this, about a name. And I hope that it matters to you. I hope that your name matters to you, what people think when they see you. I hope that the name of Christ matters to you. But in Mosiah, you know, if you look at Mosiah 1, 2, and 3, you know as King Benjamin is talking to the people, it is such a full picture of what it is to take the name of Christ, from hearing about it, to accepting it, to living with it, to dying with it. It's this full picture of it, and it's something that's worth your personal study at some time. If you're wondering, one day you get up and you say, I need to read the scriptures, I don't know what to read, start in Mosiah chapter 1 and read those first three or so chapters. It is going to walk you through all these things that you need to be thinking about. And so Mosiah is talking, or Benjamin's talking to the people, and he says, I desire that you would consider on the blessed and happy state of those that keep the commandments of God. You know, there's one of these things that I don't love God because he blesses me, but it's impossible for me to separate my love for God from his blessings. I just can't do it. Okay? I love my mom, and I loved my dad, and I love many of you because you treat me well. If you guys were horrific to me, I wouldn't have those feelings. And so it's impossible for me to separate that. Though I don't love God because of his blessings, I love him because of his blessings as well. And so part of it is that there's this requirement upon us. And he says, consider this, that there is a blessed and happy state. There's a lifestyle that people who keep the commandments of God live. It doesn't mean they're rich. It doesn't mean they're poor. But they are blessed and they are happy. And I think all of us here, if you haven't experienced it, there's people around you who you've seen it. Right? And if you're weighing pros and cons of taking a name of Christ on you, that should be something that you weigh in your heart. For behold, they're blessed in all things, both temporal and spiritual, and I have been a recipient of that. And if they hold out faithful to the end, they're received into heaven, whereby they may dwell with God in a state of never-ending happiness. So remember that these things are true, for the Lord God has spoken it. Mosiah later on says, men drink damnation to their souls, except they humble themselves and become as little children and believe that salvation was and is to come through the atoning blood of Christ the Lord Omnipotent. You know, he tells them, throughout this chapter, he's laying it out. He's calling them to Christ. And he says, I want you to realize it. I want you to know this. You know, he starts out by saying, I've been blessed because I've been in your service. I've been blessed to be a participant. He says, you know, you also can be blessed if you're willing to follow after the Lord. He says, if you don't, you know, you drink damnation to your soul if you're not willing to believe and to follow after Jesus Christ. And so this is something that's important. I want to turn here to Mosiah chapter 2. This was too long. I didn't want to put it all in here. But I want you to turn here to Mosiah chapter 2, and we're going to read. There's some pretty familiar verses in here that we're used to. Page 219. King Benjamin again opened his mouth and began to speak and say, my friends and my brethren, my kindred, my people, I would again call your attention that you might hear and understand the remainder of the words that I shall speak to you. He spent this whole time laying something out and talking to them about some important things. And he says, there's some other things that are just as essential for you to think about. For behold, that if the knowledge of the goodness of God at this time has awakened you to a sense of your nothingness and your worthless and fallen state, I say unto you that if you have come to a knowledge of the goodness of God, and it, you know, I want to stop right there. He makes this statement. He says, and he's going to continue, but he says, have you been thinking about the goodness of God? Have you thought about how wonderful he's been to you and that you really are undeserving? And, I'll tell it here without going real deep into detail. You know, I mean, I came to this fire department that I'm on right now. It was a lot of work, and it wasn't as much work physical as it was with some of the reasons why I was coming. And there was a lot of challenges that left me in my previous job, and a lot of things that were there that were misunderstandings and untruths and flat out lies and things that are forever in, it's always there. You can't erase the internet. You can't erase all of these. It's forever there. And, you know, I went through this process of of being hired there, and I was hired. And it was, you know, I had addressed those things, and I had asked people to be my references who would address all of those things very plainly and very openly and honestly, things that may have looked good and things that may have looked bad. And in interviews and stuff I had with the department, I laid my soul out there. And I had gone through almost all of the, I went through all the academy, and I had graduated. And the day after, I was in a class there within my department, and I got pulled to have a meeting with the second highest ranking member of my department and the head of human resources. And they evidently hadn't heard everything that had gone on of where I came from, and they had some concerns. And I was able to talk about it and all of that. We had a really good conversation, and I kind of laid my soul out to them. And the meeting was left very open and very open-ended. And it's probably not very many of you know about this. To where I asked, you know, does this have an effect on my future here? And they said, well, we don't know. And so I went and I began my job there, not knowing what was going to happen. And I'll be honest with you, it's been something I prayed about every day. It's felt like I've been carrying a house with me. Every day I've been going to work, I felt like I've had a whole entire building on my back, and I'm just worried about making any little mistake and all of that. And it was left open-ended. I had no clue what's going to happen. And then the other day, my captain tells me, he says, hey, the deputy chief, and he's going to come talk with you. And my stomach fell, and then he says, oh, by the way, it's good. I'm like, God, you turkey. How about you preface that differently? And the chief came, and we sat down, and he said, I want you to know that your future here is whatever you choose to make of it. And we're not concerned about your past or what's happened. We are confident in you. I had several lengthy conversations with a very close and dear friend who's in who's been a real blessing to me in a pretty important position at my previous department. And this chief said, you know, he said some amazing things about you. And we want you to know this is done, completely behind you. And I told him, I said, I hope you don't mind if I hug you. And I got emotional. I've been pretty miserable. And he hugged me and the rest of my crew said, he doesn't touch people, so he must really like you. And I'm like, well, and he initiated it. Well, you know, and so that was a great blessing. And I thought it was really wonderful. You know, the next morning I'm walking out and my captain walks out with me and he says, you know, I don't know if you know everything here. He says, all of this came about because, they didn't do a complete job in looking at everything before they hired you. And he said, but this organization feels it's very important to treat people right. And the question was asked, how would I like to be treated? And how would somebody view a professional organization? And that led the direction that they went in all of this. And, you know, I went home from work. Was it Friday morning, whatever it was? And I just, the knowledge of the goodness of God awakened me to a sense of my nothingness and my worthless and fallen state. God is good, and I'm grateful that He's good to me, and I love Him for His mercy, and I love His Son for His sacrifice, and I love the way that the Lord moves and works, just like tonight when we have a season of prayer for a service that starts early for a need that was urgent. All right, I got sidetracked. I need to keep going. I say unto you that if you come to a knowledge of the goodness of God and His matchless power, His wisdom and patience and long-suffering towards the children of men, and the atonement which has been prepared from the foundation of the world, that thereby salvation might come to him that should put his trust in the Lord and be diligent in keeping His commandments and continue in the faith even to the end of his life, I mean the life of the mortal body, I say this is the man that receives salvation through the atonement that was prepared from the foundation of the world for all mankind, whichever were ever since the fall of Adam, or which are, or whichever shall be, even until the end of the world. And this is the means whereby salvation cometh. There's none other salvation save this which has been spoken of. Neither are there any conditions whereby man can be saved, except the conditions that I've told you. And for those of you who are sitting in here who are contemplating baptism, you haven't been there, you haven't made that decision yet, you're on the fence, you're teeter-tottering, we're going to talk more about this, but this is a verse here that is something that you ought to really consider. There's no other salvation other than that salvation which has been spoken of, which is the taking on the name of Jesus Christ. Believe in God, believe that He is, believe that He created all things in heaven and earth, believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things the Lord can comprehend. Again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them, and humble yourselves before God, and ask in the sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And if you believe all these things, see that you do them. And I'm going to stop right there. You can read the rest of this later, but I want you to think about this. You know, this is the call that King Benjamin has said. He says, you know, as you try to consider who you are, what your name is, what you stand for, consider all of these things. Look at what God has done and how He's worked and moved. Think about your life. Think about the lives of others. And what does that encourage you to do? What does that do in your heart and your mind? So I want you to think about those things. I have a question here, and I have a piece of paper there. This is my question. Did this make me a firefighter? You probably can't see this. It says Arizona Fire Training. What's that? That's exactly right. My name's spelled wrong. Thanks, Mom. So you're not. Well, this one had nothing to do with the academy I went through. This was my Fire 1 and 2 certification, right? There's a lot of departments throughout the state that they don't run their own academy, or they don't run a recognized academy. All you need is to go and take this college class, right? And you go to this college class. Easton, we talked about this. You go to this college class, and when you get done with it, you know, I spent however long it was, a semester, several times a week, and I was putting on turnouts, and I was pulling fire hose, and I was hooking up to hydrants, and I was spraying the hose, and I was doing all of those things. And if I walked out and I saw a car on fire, I would know all the tactics and all of those things to do. But what was I not? I wasn't a firefighter. And I could never be one until someone offered me the opportunity to take their name. I had everything going for me, but I wasn't there. A lot of Christianity, we've talked about this over and over again, and I realize if you're sitting here, I'm probably not convincing you, because you're probably already there in your mind, of the need for baptism. But there's a whole lot of aspects of sects of Christianity that say baptism isn't necessary. But we know, we talked about it, we did a study about it a couple weeks ago on a Wednesday night. We've talked about this. It is absolutely necessary. Why is it? Because believing in God and doing good things and believe that it's essential, it's important. I would have had to have had this certification no matter what to be hired on my department, right? As part of the academy that I went through, those people who didn't have it had to take the test. They all left with it, but they didn't leave, you know, but they also had something else, as they were already accepted. They already had a name on them. We must be willing to take the name of Christ. And there is no exception for that. And you can be almost there, but it doesn't mean you're there. Doesn't mean you're there. No more than this means that I'm a mechanic. Because Isaac will tell you, I love when I have a vehicle problem, because I just like to upset or to irritate Isaac. It cracks me up. But I'll go over there and I'll be like, hey, can you help me do this? And I know if I just dumb around an engine long enough, get out of the way, I'll do it. I'm willing to try, but I'm clearly not a mechanic. Are you with me, Isaac? All right. All right, because I can open a hood and hold a couple of tools in my hand doesn't make me a mechanic. Or because I can change oil, I'm still not a mechanic. All right, I haven't done what's necessary. There we go. Does this make me a lumberjack? I didn't have a red checkered shirt. Why are you rolling your eyes, Mom? Come on. She's embarrassed for me. You're so silly. I don't know. This was fun this morning. We had a little dress-up picture time this morning. That's Andy's axe. Now you know why, Andy. That's why I wanted your double-bit axe. Right? Because I have the clothes on and everything doesn't mean I'm a lumberjack either. Right? Nobody's hired me. Nobody's accepted of me to do it. So it's important. We take on the name of Christ. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. There's not a lot of gray area in there, because Christ is saying, I'm leaving. This gospel is yours. Your responsibility is to go and teach everybody you run into. Teach them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let them know who I am and what it is that I did and why it's important to believe, and baptize them. Have them take on my name. This is what you shall always observe to do. Mark 16, 15 and 16, we talked about this in that study the other day, right? Christ says to them, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. Not a lot of gray area. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 11. Wherefore also, we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ might be glorified in you and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I like this scripture because I like verse 12. It makes this statement that I think is so very important. Remember one of those things that I said back there about getting a name is that you know, you earn a reputation, you earn a name because of your work ethic and everything. You know, I want somebody when they hear my name to not be like, oh, dude, that guy. But I want them to be excited about it. I want them to say, I want him sitting next to me in the backseat of this fire engine. If we have to go into some terrible fire, I want him because he doesn't freak out. He's smart, whatever it is. I don't care if they think I'm entertaining. It doesn't matter to me. I want them to feel like this guy is capable and he takes it seriously. And Paul says here, he says, you know, we pray for you that you'd be worthy of the name of Jesus Christ and that his name would be glorified in you. And I want you to think about that. I want us to think about that as you go about your day. This has been a challenge for me as I go every day, as every 4 days I go to work, I'm thinking, okay, am I glorifying the name of Christ today? Am I doing it? You know, even if I can't say anything, even if I can't say, hey, I'm a Christian, hey, is there something that is visible within me? Can somebody see a difference? Because if we take on the name of Christ, this is what we should be. And you know, there's not a lot of gray area here, what we're supposed to be. Mosiah 3, 7 through 9. Actually, we're going to go through 12. These are the words that King Benjamin desired of them. And if you go back, he asked the people, after he had this lengthy conversation with them, chapter 1 and chapter 2, he says, I want to know what you think. What do you think? And the people say, We want to serve God. This, we're convicted by our need to do it. And we want to dedicate our lives to him. And so he says, you've spoken the words that I desire. This covenant that you've made is a righteous covenant. This promise you've made, it is a good covenant. It leads you to good things. Because of the covenant which you've made, you shall be called the children of Christ, his sons and his daughters. For behold, this day he has spiritually begotten you. For you say that your hearts are changed through faith on his name. Therefore, you're born of him and have become his sons and daughters. And under this head, you're made free. And there's no other head whereby you can be made free. You guys, there's no other way. It has to be through the dedication of yourself and the taking on the name and the following after and the dedication to Jesus Christ. And everything that entails, you know, the following of the commandments, the learning of the gospel, all of these things that we talk about, it's essential. There's no other way. You have to do it. We must take on the name of Christ. There's no other name given whereby salvation cometh. Therefore, I would that you should take upon you the name of Christ, all you that have entered into the covenant with God, that you should be obedient to the end of your lives. And it shall come to pass that whosoever doeth this shall be found on the right hand of God, for he shall know the name by which he is called, for he shall be called by the name of Christ. So once we take on the name of Christ, and I realize as I talk about baptism and dedication, I'm talking to a very narrow group, right? But that's not it when we talk about a name. This says maintain that name. And now you see I've got stuff blacked out on there. That's the name of my department. I didn't have that on there. I realize it's going to be small. Joel, do you know what? I'm sure that Phoenix had an MCS. You do MCS? Minimum company standards, right? So this is just two of one section of a minimum company standard sheet. So as a firefighter and as a crew, all four of us or five of us as it may be, you know, from time to time, we're going to have, you know, our boss or my boss's boss show up and he's going to pull a randomly out of a hat, whatever, minimum company standards. He's going to say, okay, engine 413 B shift, you guys are going to show me minimum company standards on forward lay. So this is where we're driving up to a fire, and there's a fire hydrant that's right here, and the house that's on fire is up here, and so we're going to slow down, and one of us is going to hop out, and I'm going to take off the hose, and I'm going to come over here, and I'm going to hook up around the hydrant, and I'm going to tell them to go, and then they're going to go, and I'm going to unhook it, and I'm going to do all this sort of stuff, and run water to it, and then I'm going to run back up in all of my gear, and then I'm going to pull a line off there, and there's time standards, and there's action standards, and this thing lays it out piece by piece and person by person, and every one of them is graded on it. And so, especially for me on probation, if I've got 13 points possible, it's not acceptable for me to get 12, right? If I want to maintain my status. And so this is something that quarterly, or like where I'm at, more frequently than that, I have to perform minimum company standards. This is the minimum. We want you to do it faster. We want you to do it more efficiently. But at minimum, you will be able to do this in such amount of time, whatever it is. You have to maintain. If you can't do that, if you have a company that can't maintain minimum company standards, what did Phoenix do when you couldn't maintain MCS?
You've got time to practice, and you get to do it again.
Yeah. And so you could be out there potentially all day, and you're doing this. You're, all right, let's do it again. Let's get it. Oh, they send you home. Yeah. It's kind of like qualifications with firearms in the police department, right? You fail a couple times, and we're going to give you some time at a desk to think about what you've not done, all right? Same thing here. You have to maintain that name, right? Have to maintain those standards. What happens when we don't maintain our name? What happened to Craftsman? Who buys Craftsman tools anymore? Jesse does? Why? You think they're still good? I have not had a good Craftsman tool yet. In fact, I had a miter saw just the other day, Craftsman, and I picked it up and it broke. I'm really irritated. I can't return it. It's a couple years old. It's what? If you look back, you know, Craftsman at one point was kind of the pinnacle of American quality, right? I mean, it was up there, Craftsman tools. But they've as things have changed and as processes have changed, and as it's made in different places, Craftsman is not what it was, right? What about the Ford F-350 from 2003 to 2007? Anybody know? Yeah. What'd they do? They put a bad motor in there, right? The 6.0 power stroke diesel that all these sorts of issues and all that, right? So like when you're shopping for a truck that looks like Andy's, you can get snuck in really carefully if you're not looking at the years. And like what I noticed was a lot of times these sellers, they wouldn't put what motor was in it. They'd hope that they'd sucker you in to come looking at it without it. And you'd get there, or you'd call them up, and they'd be like, oh, yeah, it's got the
6.0 power stroke.
It's got the what? The
6.0 power stroke.
Oh, you mean that really bad motor that nobody wanted? All right. Something happened there. They whatever it was, I don't know. You can talk about all the technical stuff, but those are undesirable years, right? Undesirable years of that. Unless you do a lot of work to it. Unless you put a lot of money into it, do some work to them. Takata airbags. Anybody know what's happened to Takata airbags? Over the last couple of years, Gary's shaking his head. Yeah. Remember what was going on? Because they just randomly go off, right? Yeah. Throwing shrapnel in people's faces, it was going off. There was a moisture issue that was going in and messing up stuff, right? And Takata had been making airbags for a long time. And somehow there was a design or something like that that was going on. And if you've looked, Takata airbags have been recalled in, I think they're in Honda, I think they were in Toyota, I forget what else. They're in a lot of stuff, Takata airbags, right? Huge recalls all throughout the nation, all throughout the world, because something happened to quality control or whatever it is. Anybody, any other ones we can name? Are there stuff that you don't buy anymore because the quality has slid over the years? Well, we all could name stuff right there, right? So it's important that we maintain. A name would be maintained. So we got to maintain that name. Mosiah chapter 3, verses 14 through 17. I would that you should remember also that this is the name that I said I should give you that should never be blotted out except it be through transgression. Therefore, take heed that you do not transgress, that the name be not blotted out of your hearts. And I say unto you, and I would that you should remember to retain the name written always in your hearts, that you are not found on the left hand of God, but that you hear and know the voice by which you shall be called, and also by the name which he shall call you. For how knoweth a man the master which he hath not served, which is a stranger unto him, and is far from the thoughts and the intents of his heart? You know, here Mosiah says is that you have to, you get this name. You know, those of us, those of us who have been baptized here, you know, we have this name of Christ on us. But if we don't do something to maintain it, then it ends up going backwards in quality. This morning, Dwayne was talking about he had these grandfathers that they were master craftsmen. And I'll tell you, as a guy who does cabinets, there are not a lot of master craftsmen out there anymore that are doing framing or doing drywall. I think I put up before a picture of, I literally walked into this place after the guys had left, and I stuck a level on this wall, and it was literally like this. I mean, it was almost a full bubble off a plum. Because if you don't maintain that name, what happens? The quality, everything goes down. And this is what Mosiah says is, you've done all these things, and you want to take the name of Christ, and that's what you should do. And he's willing to give it. You promise to follow him. But if you don't take heed, if you're not paying attention to the things that you say and the things that you do and the attitude of your heart and how you have a conversation with somebody and lustful thoughts and all of these things that are a challenge to us, then that name could start to be blotted out. It could start to suffer in its quality and its reputation. And what, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, and that, you know, one of these things that you hear about Christians is, well, Christians are hypocrites and all that sort of stuff. Well, why do some of those things happen? Because we don't make the efforts to maintain our name. We've missed the minimum company standards. We're not holding ourselves to it. And so Mosiah says, man, you got to be so careful. Moroni, chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. And after they've been received unto baptism and were wrought upon and cleansed by the power of the Holy Ghost, they were numbered among the people of the Church of Christ. Their names were taken that they might be remembered and nourished by the Word of God to keep them in the right way, to keep them continually watchful unto prayer, relying alone upon the merits of Christ, who was the author and finisher of their faith. And the church did meet together oft to fast and pray and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their souls. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. I like the crew that I'm working on right now because every single day we train. Every day we train. We don't have to. Okay? Or we could just talk about something around the dinner table and they call it training. It's that open. You could do whatever it is. But my captain, and I love it, what are we going to do today? I'd like to go out and do this. All right, we'll go and do it. It's going to be 100 degrees, 100 more degrees. We're going to go out and train every day. Why does the church meet together oft? So we maintain these minimum company standards, so that we don't end up with a diminishing of the name, of the reputation. One of those reasons why it's got to be important to us. You know, we train here. We learn here. We increase our understanding and our knowledge. And then we go out and we practice and we work at it and we do it there. But we come here so we help with this process of maintaining that name. And so when we go out in the world, you know, I feel better. One of these things that I don't want to end up in about 3 months, I'm going to have to bid for whatever position I'm going to be in for the foreseeable future. I hope that a crew that loves to train is available, because that's where I want to go. Because I know that some of these real big emergencies and stuff like that, they don't happen very often. And there's nothing worse, I've run into this as a police officer, of having a situation thrown in your lap that you've never been prepared for. I want something that's at least close so I can think through it. But you only get that if you train. These are the things that we need to do to maintain our name. Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. This reading right here, it talks about walking worthy of this name that you're given. Okay, this profession of faith says that you do it in lowliness and meekness, you know, not in pride, long-suffering, you know, being willing to deal with some of those lengthy frustrations we have with people, forbearing one another in love when those people, you know, when when, you know, it's like I said, I realize I'm not everybody's cup of tea. I hope that you guys can forbear with me in love. But then it says this in the third verse, that we endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That we are endeavoring to walk with the Spirit as well. We maintain that name. 2 Thessalonians 1, 11 and 12. Wherefore I also pray for... Oh, I think I already put this one in here. I did. Oh, you already had it. You can read it again. That's a good verse. Colossians 1, 10 through 14. And we're going to be just about drawing this to a close. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. This is this call. This is how you maintain the name of Christ. That you walk worthy, you know, doing those pleasing things, being fruitful, increasing in your knowledge of God. It's difficult to increase in your knowledge of God if you put no effort into it. Strengthen with all might according to His glorious power, unto patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Lord, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. You know, this labor that we're in, this maintaining of our name, of taking it and being a part of it, you know, it's not for no reason. We should have this expectation. Thanks be to God, which giveth us victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not vain in the Lord. One of the most difficult things, I think, challenges of Christianity is when you feel like you're serving God and you're not seeing the dividends that you think you should. That's a difficult thing. We talked earlier today about inviting people to church and about having opportunity to be an example and a witness and all that. And, you know, we all shared some frustration. Doesn't always work out real well. But our labor isn't vain. Our labor is not vain. The Lord recognizes these things. And what's more, it's His expectation. His expectation of us. We're not left alone to maintain that name. Christ tells us in John 14, 26 and 27 that the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, He'll teach you all things and bring things to your remembrance whatsoever I've said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, we have this promise, and we have this greater promise and assurance of the Holy Ghost with us when we commit ourselves to the Lord through baptism and the reception of the Holy Ghost, that Comforter is with us to guide us, to lead us, to help us, to intercede on our behalf. We're not left alone. When is the game over? The scoreboard here, it looks insurmountable. Detroit's got 100 points, Cleveland's got 50, and there's 12 minutes left. Had this conversation with one of my friends the other day. We had this conversation about salvation. Can a Christian ever lose salvation? And one of the frustrations I have that I think is just an absolute perversion of Jesus Christ is when people make this statement of, somebody was a believer, but then they wander away. They were never really converted, right? Because a Christian can never lose their salvation. And this person I was talking to said that. And I said, you know, when is the game over? You don't declare a winner when there's 12 minutes left in the game, right? We don't declare a winner. We don't declare salvation before the end of it. And so taking on a name is not enough, because we can't just declare it over because I was baptized. There's still 12 minutes left. Theoretically, Cleveland could score 50 points, right? It's a possibility. James 5 and 11, he says, behold, we count them happy which endure. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. The Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. We count those people happy that continue on. And we've seen examples of it where things seem to be insurmountable, and yet the Lord was able to work and move. 2 Nephi 13 and 30, wherefore, if you shall press forward, feasting on the word of Christ, and endure to the end, thus saith the Father, you shall have eternal life. Right? Baptism, it's not over there. We press forward. We feast on the words of Christ. We have to continue forward. The book of Omni, 1 and 47, come unto him and offer your whole soul as an offering unto him, and continue in fasting and prayer, and endure to the end, and as the Lord liveth, you will be saved. That's the end of my sermon. I want you guys just to consider this. My message tonight, I hope, was simple, is that, you know, what is the importance of a name? It truly means everything. It's very important. In your life, you know, young men here who are getting jobs and all that, you know, I've had some real rotten jobs in my life, and some jobs that I just hated every day. And, you know, one thing that I had learned, and I learned from my family, I learned from so many people, is you maintain a good name. When you go on to another job, don't burn any bridges, no matter how horrific it was. When I left my previous employer, you know, as much as I wanted to kick and scream and do all that, you know, I really prayed about it, and I wrote up, I wanted to make sure that I left something that was good. Why? Because I want to maintain a name. And as a Christian, this is something that I think about all the time. You know, I decided 20-something years ago over in, you know, Bill and Karen's pool then, you know, that I was going to take on the name of Christ. And every day has been a challenge. But it's been a challenge. It's been full of blessing. And some days I've been successful, and some days I've been a horrific failure. But I'm convicted and convinced of the fact that the Lord is there with me, and that if I continue to make efforts throughout my life to walk with Him, that He will honor my efforts, that He will bless me and help me. My life is a total testimony, and I'm so grateful to have it. So I want you to consider these things tonight. I appreciate your attention. Thank you very much.